Okay, everybody. So this call is going to be on FranFit, and it's basically going to be about updating you, making sure you still understand what's going on with the program. We have a bunch of different people on the call today to help answer questions and make sure that you have all the information that you could possibly ever want. We have Emily Anderson in Oregon. We have Boynton Weeks in New York. We have Kedma O, who's part of the SBDC. And then we have John Blair in our marketing department. So we have a lot of different perspectives and experiences to help make sure that you're getting the big picture here. And then all the nitty-gritty details as well. So what's going to happen is we're going to have Emily and Boynton kind of sharing what their point of view is, and then John and Kedma will be there to help support them on their end with their perspective as well. So I will go ahead and pass it over to Emily so she can get started for you guys.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's Emily. I am really happy to have a really transparent and solid dialogue with you guys, and I am going to share with you my experience and my perspective with the FranFit program. I know what I've learned over the last couple of years is it seems like every associate has a different relationship or a different perspective on their local SBDC. So some of this might be some sweeping generalizations, but what I encourage you to do is to put yourself in the shoes of your local SBDC director or advisor, okay? So starting out this way. So let's say here we have an SBDC advisor, and they work with clients to help them start a business, grow their business, et cetera. The SBDC needs to validate all of the work that they do in order to continue getting funding, because they are an arm of the SBA. So all of these services are free as long as they can validate and document that they really are having an economic impact, that they are creating jobs, and they do need to quantify the number of hours they are spending with each client. This is what they need to do in order to get their funding, keep their center open, and to keep their jobs. Okay? So once in a great while, this is what we heard from SBDC advisors, and they say, well, really nobody comes in interested in franchising. But once in a while, if they do, I understand that we have this partnership with FranNet, and so since I, as an SBDC advisor, don't really know anything about franchising, I will introduce my client to FranNet. And then here's what happens. Bye, client. Bye. Wait. Where did my client go? Did they buy a business? Did they create any jobs? Did they put any money back into our economy? I don't know. Or maybe I have a good relationship with a FranNet associate and I find out down the line that they actually did buy a business. But here's the thing. I didn't get any type of documentation. I was not in communication with my client once they engaged with FranNet. And so I just gave away a client, and I just gave away an opportunity to access more funding for my center. So the next time I have somebody come in and ask about franchising, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm probably not going to hand them over to FranNet, because that's just pouring money down the drain. Okay, that's just generally sweeping generalization of the old way. Okay, so let's look at the new way. I'm an SBDC advisor. I'm responsible for giving business advising. I need to validate all the work that I do in order to continue get funding. Also, it is part of my job to pursue ongoing education so that I can provide better, more accurate, more relevant and information advising and have some expertise. So as part of my job, I need to, you know, keep up my credentials. What kinds of things should I learn about in order to help my clients? Oh, look, there's this brand new certification called FranFit. And there are, I think, 13 online modules that I, as an advisor, can do. I can get certified, learn a lot about the franchise industry. This is not going to cost anything to me, and this is going to help me meet the requirements for my job. Look at me. I did all the modules. that were created by FranNet, our partner, and now I am FranFit certified. And what that means is that when I have a client come in and ask about franchising, I have more information, but also sometimes I have clients that come in with an idea for a new business, and I think that they would be better suited to go with a franchise now that I've learned more about the industry. So I am going to connect them to my partner at FranNet. And this is going to be our client. We are going to share this client. We both want what is in the best interest for this person, and we are going to keep open channels of communication and documentation. So, for example, I know that my FranNet partner is going to give my client the PSA. And I know that they're going to send me our client's PSA results. If this client attends a workshop or a webinar with FranNet, I know that my FranNet associate is going to let me know, hey, they attended this workshop. And because I need to document everything, it can count as an advising hour or advising hours if they will document to me the date, the time, and the duration of that webinar or workshop. They might even provide me some notes that I can put in our client's file so I know what kind of information our client is getting. If they meet one-on-one with the client, now this is going to vary from SBDC to SBDC. So this is, I'm going to kind of take off my SBDC advisor hat and put on my FranNet associate hat. Me as a FranNet associate, if I am going to meet with a FranFit client, I go back to the advisor. The next step for meeting with, you know, is to have a one-on-one with our client. Would you like to attend? And the I have had SBDC advisors say yes, and I've had them say no. But as a courtesy, we need to give them the option because this is their client. Also, I, as a FranNet associate, asked the SBDC, how would you like to validate this meeting? What kinds of notes would you like? What I have found is that some SBDCs have an actual template that I fill out with notes based on my client meeting. And as for back in the SBDC person's shoes, they know that they're going to stay informed on what's happening with their clients and that they are going to get the documentation that they need for validating. So there's going to be a client meeting. I'm going to get the notes. Me as an SBDC advisor, I will know if and when they have debrief calls. I'm going to know how or if they are moving along in the four-step process. I will be invited to attend the calls unless I've made it clear that I'm not interested because I'm too busy at this point and I already trust my FranNet associate. Now, one thing I do want to call out, to put it on my FranNet hat, the way my experience with FranFit is that my SBDC point of contact, they have not wanted to be involved in our clients' financing or funding strategies. I do know that I think it was Mary Kronk had an issue where she just moved forward with her FranFit client the same way I would have, and the SBDC came back and said, hey, we wanted to be involved in the SBA loan process. So I would encourage you FranNetters to be really clear, have a conversation with your SBDC and ask them what role, if any, they would like to have with the client's financing strategies. So moving along the four-step process, when the client goes to discovery day, we're just doing our typical process, but the SBDC advisor is going to know this is what happens, that they're going to discovery day, this is what happens at discovery day, and oh my gosh, guess what? They were awarded a franchise. Hooray! Hooray, hooray! Didn't you hear my excitement? Now, I as an SBDC advisor, we have a new local franchisee. I am going to get a $2,500 scholarship fee that is going to support my center, ongoing training, ongoing support, materials, brochures, FranFit banners. I get to use this money to continue supporting and growing FranFit in my center. Also, I have been involved and informed every step of the way. So my client file is full of validation notes. I am able to circle back with them once they open their doors to find out the economic impact. They can tell me how many jobs they've created. I can tally the advising hours that are a combination of both my hours and the FranNet advising hours. And guess what? My opportunity for funding for next year is looking pretty darn good. This is the FranFit partnership, guys. We are still working with our clients the same way we always have, except we are involving the SBDC, keeping them informed, giving them the documentation that they need every step of the way. So far, this is off the top of my head, and Kedma, if you think of anybody else that I forgot, I know a problem or a challenge that a lot of FranNetters have had in the past is that people that come in through the SBDC don't have any money. And sometimes that's certainly true. Here in Oregon, we've closed 5 deals. There's a couple of two-packs and a couple of – there's a two-pack and a couple of three-packs in there. I can tell you, so Oregon obviously has been part of the pilot, and I'd love to hear from Boynton the stats because Boynton has also been part of the pilot program. But as we're starting to branch out outside of Oregon and New Jersey, I can tell you that Roxanne is having great success in San Diego. They just closed their first FranFit deal, which was a Sign World. She has been hosting monthly workshops at her SBDC. The SBA promotes these workshops. She's getting 10 to 20 to 30 people in these workshops. Now, keep in mind, the SBDC, in order for them to get funding, they also want to make sure that the people that they're advising, I mean, this is going to sound callous, but they want to make sure that the people that they're advising actually have the money to do something. What we've started doing, or actually what the SBDC started doing, is before any of their clients can attend the monthly workshop or get one-on-one advising, they have to take the PFA. So what that's looking like for Roxanne is when she has 10 to 20 to 30 people at a workshop, they have all already taken the PFA. How nice would that be? So once a month, she does a 3-hour workshop. She does the typical franchising 101 career alternatives workshop. And we've also created a workshop called Unpacking the Profile. And what that looks like is we spend some time talking to people about what it looks like being an achiever, a belonger, a societal, and an emulator, what kinds of industries, what kinds of roles, anything that you can help to support them have a deeper understanding of themselves and their ideal role in a business. The SBDC, the advisors, have found so much value in this. Even if they're not going to move forward with the franchise, the SBDC is starting to recognize, okay, I've got an Achiever Societal on my hands. I now know how to work with them better. So she's been doing that once a month. And we had a team call this morning, and I just found out this morning. So Roxanne met with the South County San Diego SBDC last week or the week before. Blair said he's been trying to get in there for 10 to 12 years. And because of the success that's happening in North County, South County has asked Roxanne to start doing monthly workshops, and she left a 2-hour meeting with promises of 4 new leads that they were going to send to her. Boynton, do you want to jump in and tell us any of the stats or experience that you're experiencing?
Yeah, so last year, good afternoon, everyone. Last year we did 4 FranFit deals in the New York, New Jersey market. Year to date, we haven't closed any deals, but we have 5 FranFit clients in the pipeline. But here's what I want to say, just to the point of, you know, for those associates that are trying to get buy-in from the SBDC centers in their market, one of the things I try to do when there's some pushback from the center director is, you know, I try to say, who do we know doesn't want help doing their job? And really, if we use it as a fundamental platform, there's some level of interest. It at least perk up their ability to hear what you're bringing to the table. And what we're bringing to the table is what David Margulies, who's the Framstead Ambassador for Small Business Development Centers in New Jersey, he coined the term leveraged impact. And what we talk about there is I'm going to do the credit, the long-term counseling hours, document every step of it up to 5 hours or 6 hours, whatever is required. So I'm, in essence, doing their work for them. They're getting the credit for it. Out of the deal, we're getting a potential client to work with, but it becomes really a win-win for them. But what that forces them to do is to really think about and have top of mind franchising when their clients come in and are looking for direction. So it's just really just positioning it or platforming it so that they understand, I'm here to help you. This is a win-win scenario. I'm not taking something away from you without giving you something tangible back. And so within that, the documentation process is very important. We get more leads, more opportunities to work with their clients. We've demonstrated that after, and I try to do it within 24 hours of a client meeting, I send them a pre-approved form that we worked with John Blair to develop it in the corporate office, and I send that documented client hours. If it's 30 minutes, I document 30 minutes. If it was a two-hour call, I document 2 hours. And it all adds up to assisting them with doing their job. And at the end of the day, guess what? There's $2,500 going towards, as Emily stated, their ability to fund educational opportunities for their office going forward. And if any of the other states are like New Jersey where these types of programs are being cut back, we're helping to fund or supplement what they're losing on a state level. So that's just my long-winded way of saying something I thought was pretty simplistic.
Yeah, thank you. And Ken was on the phone. I've probably done, I don't know, 50 advising hours for the SBDC, and that's 50 hours that her center did not need to pay an advisor.
Right.
So
that's all I wanted to share. I was hoping to open it up to questions or the other co-presenters. You know, if you guys have want to chime in now, feel free.
Yeah, so let me go ahead and open up the line so people can kind of chime in if you like, and then we can also have John and Ken Mecca talk about some of those things, too, from their point of view. Let me unmute.
The conference has been unmuted. The conference has been unmuted.
All right. So the conference has been unmuted. So does anybody have any questions so far about what Emily and Boynton have said?
Hi, it's Leslie. I do, please.
Hello.
Hey, great job, guys. That's great, the results that you're getting. Is there any, you know, issue with confidentiality? I know one, Emily, you had mentioned, you know, you will share the client's PFA with the advisor. Are you asking the client permission to do that?
Actually, that's a great question. I'll tell you that at first, because Kedma and I work so closely together, please remember, at first I was asking clients permissions, but then it just got to a point where the client expected to be able to look at their results with Kedma.
Yeah, can I answer that question, Emily?
Please. Yeah, please.
Yeah, it's very simple. This is the client of the SBDC. So when the SBDC works with the client, it comes to orientation. They are going to be referred, lead advisor would be Emily, but as part of that, they know that they're going to have the PFA and that information comes back to us. So that's already vetted as part of our referral to Emily. We communicate that out.
Ah, so the client has the expectation in advance that will happen.
Absolutely,
sure.
Yeah. These are clients
gotcha.
Of the SBDC, and what they're very clear on is that, you know, we don't engage with any outside, even though we have a strategic partnership, we don't engage with any external referral without that engagement occurring.
Okay. Easy enough. Thank you.
Any other questions so far?
Well, one person typed in a question about, do you recommend we become an SBDC advisor?
I can answer that.
Yes, Kedma, go for it.
Absolutely not. That's a conflict of interest, and do not engage in that perspective. We have to be 1 degree separated, which is why Emily cannot be an SBDC employee, because the idea of an SBDC employee receiving monetary funds as a result of work being done is considered against policy. So we have to be very removed, and we have to ensure that as much separation as possible so that we don't have that kind of potential conflict of interest. So the answer would be
somebody,
no to that.
Okay, yeah. And somebody asked for specifics regarding the $2,500 fee for the SBDC. Who pays this? Does it come from our FranNet consultant commission? John, do you want to tackle that,
yeah,
or you want me to take a stab?
Sure. The money does come from the commission, but the money comes from the gross commission. So that FranNet corporate is actually picking up a portion of it, as opposed to coming from a net commission. So that the difference is, you end up that the consultant ends up benefiting a little bit, as opposed to paying all $2,500 off a net. It's paid off of the it's paid off the gross.
Yeah. And when you invoice in FranConnect, there is a box that you can click to note if this is a FranFit deal, so that they'll know to account for that. One thing that I didn't put in my presentation, but I think is pretty important, I have never, ever, ever, ever done a workshop at the SBDC. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. And I was under the impression that that was a goal for a lot of FranNet associates, is to get into the SBDC and do workshops. It's working really, really well for Roxanne, but I just want to be an example that you don't have to be doing workshops. If you have an advisor at the SBDC that understands franchising and understands what we do and the opportunities, because they've gotten FranFit certified, that you've got a champion and you've got an advocate. Kedma, are you able to see the questions in the chat box?
Let me see. Hold on a minute.
Okay. Because some of these, I think, would be good for you. What is the first step?
I can answer that question, Emily,
okay.
On the first step to approaching the local SBDC offices. I think, honestly, and, you know, this program is not a silver bullet. It's not a program that, you know, SBDC centers more than likely are going to be jumping up and down, waiting for this program. They've heard all about it. Probably more than likely, they probably haven't heard about it. They're probably not going to be jumping up and down. So it's going to take some education. And a part of that education, even part of that first step to get there, is building the relationship with them. You know, any business is built on personal relationships. So the opportunity to get in there, introduce yourself more from what FranNet can do from an educational perspective. And, oh, by the way, we're here to also support the SBDC's FranFit program in terms of the educational outreach for franchising as an opportunity for business ownership. We are the resource for that, for this SBDC program. So part of it's a paradigm shift, and it's been a a training for us. And understanding this, don't come from it from the mindset of this is a FranNet program that we're bringing to SBDC on FranFit. This is an SBDC program that we are coming in as a resource. And it would seem weird, I hope you understand, it would seem weird if we come in and say, hey, have you heard about the FranFit program? They haven't heard anything about it, and it's their own program. Yet here we are as a resource. So the better way is to build the relationship first. Meet with them, talk with them, talk about what FranNet and what you specifically can do for their clients, and then introduce the FranFit program. Focus less on any particular program and more about what you can do for them and the support you provide for them and building that relationship you can with them.
I'm going to add something, John. Is that okay?
What's that?
So I agree 1,000% with what John's saying. I think the other thing we want to make sure is we're not expecting you to do everything on your own. So behind the scenes, John and I are working on a national initiative, which will roll out at the ASBDC conference, where we will be providing further education around this initiative to all the SBDCs. And I think part of the challenge that we have learned over the last few years is that essentially we're creating an entire program that really did not exist prior to FranFit. Even though there was, you know, this conversation around franchising, it was never truly incorporated as a program top down, where we have many other programs that have been built and have commitments across state lines, like international trade or capital access or growth wheel. This is essentially what John and I have been trying to do, so that it becomes much easier when you are working state by state or center by center introducing the program, because it's important for us to have that national commitment, and that's what we've been working on. Did I miss anything on that, John?
No, I think that's very well said. I was going to mention the national opportunity, and I think we actually had a question about that earlier, about finding the ones that are interested, and how do we even get them to listen to you? Part of this relationship, as I mentioned, but I think the bigger opportunity is what Kedma mentioned. Kedma and I will be going to with the support of the Oregon State Director, who's been helping us throughout the entire process of going to all of the state directors in September and getting national buy-in as a national initiative for the FranFit program. So a couple of the concerns that we've often heard across the country, which is franchising is technically a new business, and we don't deal with new businesses. Kedma and I have been working on that from a background standpoint, trying to educate the SBDC network on why franchising is different, why a franchise is different than a new build or a brand new store or an open from scratch store, why franchising is different. The other thing, if we can get the SBDC, the state directors, to buy in on it becoming a national initiative, then, Kedma, correct me if I'm incorrect here, it becomes part of their metrics. And just like any organization, the SBDC is competitive, and they want to see their name and their state at the top of the list. And
yeah.
Now you'll have this kind of this groundswell of support, so to speak, of people and state directors and center directors wanting to push their name up to the top of the list as a part of this program. So it will become kind of a, for lack of a better term, a self-fulfilling prophecy in terms of the support it will then garner because they're being measured on it. Right now, to this point, it's been something that if we could get some people buying in and understand the benefits to their center and benefits to the network, that's how we've been having to push it and sell it in. And we've talked to many of you all with some center directors and even some state directors, and it's been a little bit of an uphill battle. Hopefully, when we get this thing sold on a national basis, it becomes kind of pushing the rock downhill as opposed to pushing the rock uphill.
The other piece to this, John, I'm going to add on this, is the part of this initiative is they want to ensure that FranFit has some additional strong partners behind them that also engage with franchising. So they've asked us, and John's been really helpful, to reach out to the ISA. And right now we are starting with first the committee that supports BetFran, to try to include that. And, you know, this kind of partnership with other organizations basically sets the landscape for really introducing this as a program. So I realize, coming from our perspective, you know, and to John's comment, you know, this is not a fly-by-night. You know, we literally took on, without realizing it, a program, and in less than 3 years, really, we're transferring it into a national initiative. So I think once that happens, it will be a lot easier. But we have strong early adopters. We meet every month on our FranFit ambassador call. We have movement going, but, you know, it's the rest of them that we have to bring on board. And once it becomes a national commitment, it's going to be a lot easier on the local level.
Do you guys expect you'll get that commitment in December or September?
Say it again.
Yeah, this is Steve in Philadelphia. How are you? I'm just wondering, you know, if you're presenting in September, do you expect you'll get a commitment from these directors, or is it going to be the director can sort of choose to attend?
Great question. Mm-hmm. So I can just tell you that the like any other organization, right, you have very powerful influencers within the SBDC that, for lack of better terms, if they say yes, move forward, it seems like everyone follows suit. So I can tell you that, you know, some of the really strong influencers have already put sort of a commitment to move forward, and now this has moved on to the ASBDC Educational Committee to move this forward. So what that looks like from a commitment is going to be hard to tell because we're communicating it in September, but I expect that, you know, that at this level and like anything else, we have two state directors that sort of put this forward. Mark Gregory is one of them. So we'll know more after the national conference, but I will tell you that we have the green light and we're doing a lot of things behind the scenes to prepare for that.
Okay, well, we'll look for hopefully get an update after the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully after the conference, we'll be able to give sort of a better idea of what this looks like.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Frank had a question that hasn't been addressed yet. Frank says that his state has 28 centers across the state. They consider the program too difficult, broad in scope to coordinate. He's had trouble identifying a point person or a person to run the program. Does Oregon or New Jersey have point people? Yeah, KEDMA is my point person. Blair and I also see clients in Idaho, and I do have somebody at the Boise SBDC right now who's getting certified. Frances is certified, and she's going to be my point person there. Wouldn't you want to speak to your experience? Boynton?
Is he still on?
Okay, I'm sorry. What was the question?
Do you have a point person?
We do.
Okay. You want to share your experience with having a point person as opposed to working with a bunch of different centers?
So David Margulies from Kane University is sort of our Franfit SBDC ambassador. And not knowing any other way for this program to operate in other states, looking only at New Jersey, it was a godsend to have David as the intermediary to kind of be that person that is not pushing the initiative out to the other centers, but really just endorsing the work that we do, having another voice that says, here's why it works, here's been our success models, here's been our success metrics, here's why it could benefit you. So I think in the structure that they have in the SBDC, hearing it from someone who is in a similar role, similar capacity, charged to do the same or similar things, having them say it versus me has been a godsend, definitely.
Hey, KEDMA, are there any insights that you can provide from the SBDC perspective?
I'm going to call BS on the state that says it's too difficult. They obviously haven't worked with us because there's really nothing difficult about it. It's identifying. Maybe the most difficult part is identifying the spokesperson. But, you know, if you think about just New Jersey and Oregon, I mean, I'm the point of contact for 19 centers. So I'm not sure where the disconnect is and probably want to take it offline and see. You know, it's really about just establishing that one champion internally that sees the value. And that could be state director, assistant state director, could be a director. What I would buy into is if I heard a state saying, well, we tried this for 6 months and it was difficult, but for a state to have never really tried it that I'm aware of and say it's difficult, I just don't buy into that excuse. So I think we need to just take it offline and see what the issue is.
Okay.
But I don't know. John, what's your thoughts?
No, I think it's the same challenge that we come across at just about every single other market that we've tried to work this in, is a lack of understanding and a lack of education about, A, the program, and understanding franchising. I think that's your biggest challenge, because one of the things we see is they're always leery when they're talking about money. And another thing is, like I said, they don't understand how the program works, or how simple or how difficult it may be, frankly. But I think they are defaulting toward it being very difficult, because they don't understand a number of different opportunities within the program. So I think it's a lack of education more than it is a true roadblock in the situation.
Hey, John and Kevin, this is, again, just a thought on maybe a better idea to roll this out, or maybe you guys are thinking this, but it seems that we have some strength and we have some results in those two pilot areas that we're focused on, right? These pilot areas that you and Kedma focused those organizations. Rather than trying to get everybody at once, why not just sort of roll out area and maybe do something similar to what you've done in the pilot, maybe this time bringing three different areas on, and maybe another three after they're rolled out. But it seems like you're getting traction in the pilot areas, but it doesn't sound like we're getting a lot of traction outside the pilot areas.
No, I think it's interesting you bring that up, Steve, because Kedma and I have probably had, 50, 60, 70 different conversations with different markets across the country. Some of them have bought in, and some of them, we've probably got 20, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15 that are regularly on every one of our monthly calls. They're in the program. They are support the program, but there's still this. And Kedma, you can probably talk better than this. There's still this kind of roadblock that we run into because it's not a part of their metrics yet, and because they're not measured on it, it's not going to be a focus. It's not going to be a focal point for them. What we found are the ones that see the opportunity within the program are the ones that are adopting it quickly. So it's not because we have tried to tackle large areas or small areas or non-areas. We've tackled it every which way, and it's just a matter of finding someone who is can become that champion of the program in that market or that state and moving it forward from there. And that's what we found is most successful.
Actually, if I can add to that, and this would be something that the ambassadors, the consultants can be a part of, I have seen a correlation between people who have gone to the AACDC training, where we do the training, and then their excitement to come back and actually be an ambassador. So I think, John, how many people are already registered, like 25?
Something like that, yeah, 25, 30.
Yeah. So the more, if you are in an area where that there may be some interest, the more you can get people committed to just, attend our conference training program at the national conference, we do see those people who actually attend and then learn and then connect with other ambassadors. They tend to come back to their center or to their state and get really focused on moving things forward. So, and to John's comment, we really originally targeted the pilots just where we could find the champions, because that's, at the end of the day, it really has nothing to do with a particular state's demographic. It has more to do with finding that internal champion who's willing to represent the program until it becomes a national initiative. And that comes down to the relationship. So that's the toughest part. And if there's no relationship established, that's the biggest barrier.
One opportunity for Granite Associates to initiate a relationship and to build rapport is to have your SBDC point of contact take the PFA or the business evaluation and suitability test, which is like the mini PFA,
and to sit down with them and talk through their results. That's been really powerful for establishing rapport.
Hey guys, it's Blake in Nebraska.
Hey Blake.
Did I hear you say in the course of the conversation that that John's team developed a template piece of documentation wherein we can document all the communications for credit hours for the SBDC centers?
We do, yes.
I don't believe I've seen that. Would you be able to forward that on to the folks on the call or just to me individually?
Certainly. I can. I'll send it out to I'll send it out to everyone, and let me double check, but I'll also put it on Frank Connect.
Okay. I only asked because the new ambassador in Iowa was, I think, putting something together herself. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then thank you. I appreciate
that,
John. Are we still in a holding pattern on the new certification website?
Kevin, you want to address that?
I was on mute. Sorry. Can you say that again?
Oh, I was just asking if we're still in a holding pattern on the building of the new improved certification website for the online module.
So I need to get back to my web design. I think where we're at right now is John has submitted all the information, and I know that they're just trying to figure out the uploading, so I need to just get a status report from them on where they're at. So I can do that, and then I'll have John communicate that to everyone so we know where things are at.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Anybody else?
Did we tackle the question of is there still an issue with states not recognizing franchises as an existing business?
I don't know that we mentioned it, but yes, that issue is still out there. Kevin and I have been working trying to educate people about why franchising is different. You look at the success rates, and the way we kind of position it is more of a hybrid business. And the way we position it practically is to say, let's say that there is, you know, Mike's Hardware Store, and Mike's Hardware Store wanted to add another store across town. The SBDC every single day would help Mike open his new hardware store across the town. And our logic is that a franchise is no different than that. It's not a startup business. It's actually an extension of an existing business, just like Mike's Hardware Store would be if he decided to open up another hardware store. So it's taken some education, and a lot of it's a lack of understanding of franchising, but that's what this program is all about, is helping them understanding what franchising is and what it isn't. But there still is that in some markets that is going to be, an opportunity for us. But like I said, we're hoping through this potential buy-in across a national perspective that issue essentially would go away.
You know, I can't, Jay, John, and adding on to that, I can't speak enough to how much all of this is really comes down to lack of education of the SBDC advisors. And from a just from a cultural perspective, if an SBDC advisor who's advising a client doesn't have any education on a specific topic, they're just not going to talk about it. And to give you just a point in fact, last month I was the key speaker for the Oregon Bankers Association. That means all the bankers come together once a year to learn about things, and I was speaking to them at their event, and I can't tell you how many came up to me confidentially and said, you know, I've been a loan officer, or now I'm the VP, and they frankly told me point blank they don't have experience in franchising. Now the scary part is those are the lenders saying this to us. So the point is that we are up. The battle has been, that if we can get them education, which is why FranFit exists, we will create champions. But until they get educated, it's a losing battle sometimes because they don't know what they don't know, and then you add pride to that, and then it becomes just a difficult a system to get through. So that's why John and I are working on the national front to try to get this education through.
Has everybody got their questions answered? That sent a question in the chat. If not, go ahead and vocalize that now. Okay. Well, then I think that's every question we had, and you guys know who to reach out to if you have any more questions that pop up after listening to this or kind of reviewing it again. But I just want to say thank you so much to Kedma and John and Boynton and Emily for all being on the call and putting their opinions out there and letting us know the facts. So thank you for your time, and I will be sending out this, and John will be sending out what Blake requested, and we'll have everything out to you guys soon. So thank you for joining us today. Have a good rest of your afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.